Let's go back to Genesis 3. Read 1 through.
Than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. The serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die.
Wait a minute, we need to stop there a minute, because... Yeah, go over to 2:17, 2:16 and 17.
And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou shalt eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die.
Okay, and the difference then, when Eve repeated that, she added to it, she said, that thou shalt not touch it, because if you either touch it or eat of it, you shall die. That was the beginning of Phariseeism. It was the beginning of hypocrisy. It was the beginning of no faith. Some of you still believe that you can't, you fairly well know you, there are certain things that mean you can't eat of it, but you also think that if you touch the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will die. And therefore you live in the if-onlys. And you live in your fantasy lives rather than living out. And it's so important that you, I mean, the difference between those two scriptures are the difference of what we hope to do. Can you move that thing? I've got to be able to put my arm up. Of what we hope to do with the school. The school, as you well know, will be a place where the kids are taught that they can do and touch anything and everything. Now, that's a major difference in how we were taught. And therefore, it's a major difference in how we still think about situations. You know, one of the reasons, in the little things, like in the case of Jim Sheehan with regard to his quest for revenge, I'm sure that his father would tell him, you know, other than saying, well, you shouldn't have had the party, he would tell him that, you know, okay, it's a good deal that you shouldn't seek revenge, just let it go, God will take care of it in the future or some such thing.
Wrong.
He would say seek revenge?
He would say break their kneecaps.
Oh, okay.
My dad.
My mom would say be nice.
My mom would say be nice. My dad would say break the knee.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the point of it is, whatever it is that subtle difference between how can I say it? Between behavior that's explosive and automatic and free versus the split second of the thought that says, I should do something different, or I should, is the difference between touching it and eating it. Do you understand? Most of you have spent a lifetime second-guessing yourself or second-guessing your impulses. That's the difference between touching it I mean, if you just go full bore, then whatever happens, happens. But if you have some impulse and then wonder whether or not this is the proper course of action, then what you have been doing, in effect, is you've been hearing the voice of Satan, which says, you shall not touch it. Now, that little difference between the two statements, where God said, thou shalt not eat of it, i.e. gain sustenance from it, or you shall die, versus you shall not touch it and you shall not eat of it, is the base. I mean, fundamentally, of all of you, it's the basis of all of your problems. I don't know, I can't go to say it's the basis of all the problems in the world, but it's probably close to the basis of all the problems in the world. And with some of you, it's so much, it's almost automatic that the idea you've spent so much time thinking that you shouldn't touch it that you can't imagine a way of thinking or a way of life that was the truly explosive.
Yeah, I'm having a really hard time even thinking about this.
Okay, well,
I don't know whether I do it all the time or never, but it's like I just.
Well, let me give you an example. Wait a minute. Harry, most of the time around me when I'm sick, Harry either never comes to see me or disappears or something, because he has no behavior pattern set about how he should, what's the proper response. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I'm having a spasm, he doesn't have any idea what the proper response is, and so because he doesn't have any idea what the proper response is, he stays away. Now, whether Harry's just easy to pick on, but every one of you are like that. There are situations that you will not put yourself into, not consciously, but there are situations that you've subconsciously avoided totally because they would be a position where you would have no idea what the proper response to it was. Therefore, you would have no idea, you couldn't touch it. I mean, you understand? You couldn't have the rule. Now, you can't believe how natural this is to your personality. I mean, this is the way you are normally. And it's robbed the real you from the explosiveness and the beauty and the freedom of life. Because you walk through life in such a way that you refuse is too strong a word, because you don't even know you're doing it. You end up not being in an arena that God has placed in your world for you to be exercised therein. You totally and completely avoid it because you say, I can't touch it because I don't know what my proper response in that arena would be. Now, this culture, that's the reason that American culture, modern culture, is so evil. Because it is all learned responses. And so it's unbelievable. I mean, and now because of the mass communications, I mean, it's coming and it's being spread to the whole world, that people will not now do things because they won't put themselves into a position where they don't have a proper response. Do you understand that even if they know they would fail, if they had a response definition, you would still feel more comfortable about putting yourself into it. But if you're in a position where there's no idea what the proper response to it is, to a stimulus, then you avoid it at all costs, even though it's right in your world.
That's really what television and movies and books and everything supply.
Yeah.
It's a
proper response. Now, do you understand the relationship here? God said, don't eat of it. Don't eat of the fruit of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, because that will make you like God. And he didn't want any competition. He said, touch it freely. Go and experience, touch all things. so that you will know that they're all vanity, and then you will walk in my perfect light. But we have our own governors, because we say, I can't touch that arena because I don't know what my response would be. And therefore, there's no faith. Am I still not communicating?
No, it's like watching a little kid in a store. You know, that's the first impulse, is to go touch, you know, the fabrics or the glitter jewelry or the food or whatever it is they want. You always see their mother just, you better, don't touch anything, don't touch anything.
Yeah, and the things that, the you know, except for a few sort of avant-garde kind of art sculpture guys, most of what we as a society have defined as the highest beauty, i.e. these great paintings and artistic things, you can't, you will, when you go to them, it says don't touch.
Are they in glass cases?
Well, same thing.
But
that's, we have defined a whole world, a whole society, based on the misunderstanding of thou shalt not eat of it. There, the whole society says, thou shalt not touch it. And it's created spiritual cripples.
Yeah, I am experiencing that stuff about learned patterns. It was just like polar. I was at, you know, I traditionally really hate parties, and I worked at a party on the 4th of July. It was a very athletic party. There was like badminton and volleyball and horseshoes and croquet and lots of physical things to do. And I was fine as long as I was playing one of those games or something to do. I knew my mission. It was set. That was established. But as soon as there was no game going on, I was just sitting around talking with mostly people I had never seen before. It was just like, oh, I'm just recovering from that. And it was terrible. And then all of a sudden the game would start up and I'd be fine. But as soon as it was something that was totally unpredictable, it was very, very difficult. It was impossible to not be self-conscious.
Well, don't touch it. It's the opposite of abstain from the evil lust.
You
feel the
opposite
of experience everything and find that it's vanity.
Well, anyway, we're not going to, I didn't want to talk about that, but that's, go ahead.
And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee thou shalt not eat? No one said,
who told you that you were naked? Can you, I mean, we've talked about this 100 times, but can you imagine what the freedom and joy that could be expressed in your life if there was never any voice telling you that the condition and the state of being that you were in at that instant was to be any different than that? Now, as long as you believe the state of being that you're in at that instant should be different, then in the spirit, you think you're naked. You think you need to be clothed with something else. You understand? And in that clothing, the clothing that you prepare in the spirit is you sew fig leaves together. Now, you do it mostly in your mind. and you create a garment that's based on the fact that someone has told you that you're naked. This is the essence of the battle. This is the essence of where the Holy Spirit is operating in us at this point. God doesn't want you to sow any more fig leaves. He wants you to be naked and unashamed. Unashamed means without self-consciousness. Who told you that you're naked? Who told you that the condition you're in should be different than it is? I don't care. Who told me that even in the midst of pain, that it should be different than that? The Spirit says, and the Spirit is crying out, that says that by His stripes I am healed, I am made totally and completely whole, in spite of what it looks like. Who told you that you needed more than you have? Who told you that your condition should be different than it is at this instant? Who told you were naked? I can't begin to explain to you the joy that's in that moment of being in which every single thing that is a stimulus that comes into your life is exactly the way it should be. And the battle has nothing to do with anything else. No other person, no other thing, no other circumstance, no other situation. The battle has only to do with here. Who told you were naked? The serpent. He's the only one that will ever tell you that you need to be in a state of being different than you are at this instant. The serpent. Where is he? He is you. It's this thing, this Antichrist, this mind. That's the gospel. That's the life. That's what this whole book is about. That's what time and space is about, is to return to this place where no one can tell you you're naked. If the Son can make you, hath made you free in that position, there's not demons, not heights, nor depths, nor pain, nor suffering, life nor death, nothing can touch you. Who told you were naked? And it can't be excused for the slightest. Do you understand? Even the littlest, teeniest little thing. Because if you start to make the teeniest little weeny weeny fig leaf,
was that for Wendell's benefit?
It's a tiny weenie leaf.
You'll have to finish the garment. And God says, I have a better garment for you. It's the righteousness of my Son. You don't have to worry about yours anymore. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's your garment.